this morning. Let's go around the room real quick, starting with Lane.
Lane, Facilities Director.
Ashley Young, Animal Care of Davis County.
Sydney Larrabee, Animal Care.
Bob Stevenson, Commission.
Randy Lake, Commission.
Robert Tripp, Attorney's Office.
Chris Koch, Auditor.
Brian McKenzie, County Clerk.
And Jesse Turner, County Clerk's Office.
Okay, and I gather we're excusing Lorene.
She will be here shortly.
Okay. So, Ashley, you're up to talk to Animal
Care discussion. Yeah, so my name is Ashley. I'm the Director of Animal Care of Davis County. We have met several times in work session discussing the animal care facility and the direction we intend to head with that. Just last week, we had a pretty good meeting with many of our city managers and mayors going over the needs of the new animal care facility and what that is going to look like. And today from the commission, we are really looking for a direction that we intend to head in the near future. And Curtis, in our last work session, presented two options. The first one being the GO bond as one of our options. The second option is using sales tax revenue. The third option is, that we haven't really discussed, is tabling this at this time to reassess next year, because we are coming up on some pretty tight deadlines in the very near future. And so today from the commission, we are really looking for direction that we intend to head with the shelter so we can get started on the process before we're out of time. I know. Give us answers.
Give us answers. So Curtis, if we were to do a sales tax revenue bond, when does that initiate? Next year as well?
You would go through truth and taxation this year.
This year?
This September. On or before September 1st, you want to let the treasurer know, you want to announce a public meeting the amount and not to exceed amount. And the estimate, I think you have to have an estimated cost per average household. And yeah, you would run that through, and you go through the truth and taxation process this fall.
You know, I think what my suggestion, and this is kind of a work in progress as far as it goes, so. But I think that what we would probably want to see if we could get your office to do would be able to take basically how the whole animal care line is going to be. Because we know that we're already putting in place to cover the 2.4, 2.2, whatever million is there. And if we figure that we're going to need, let's get away from the word need. Let's say we're going to bond for whether it's 12 million, 16 million, 20 million, whatever, that we turn around and have you guys work that out based upon what you see as far as today's rates go, so we understand where we're at. I do think that we should do a sales tax. And the reason why I say that is because if we do a GO bond and we put it out to vote and it does not pass, we aren't resolving a problem.
Nope.
And so, and what that does, and I think a good lesson probably was learned in Caseville, when Caseville turned around and put their police station out for a GO bond and it failed and they still had to have a new police station. Bottom line is it's gonna cost the taxpayer pretty well the same amount of money per household. It's just whether you get their vote. If you're not gonna get 100% of the people vote, you only want 50% plus one vote. And so you're most likely still going to have, 55% of the people going, okay, 45% say no. So people are still going to dislike it. And I think the other thing that we have to look at is that, we're dang leaders and leading out. We need not to be afraid to lead out. And I think the thing that we have to emphasize, and I think Curtis is why I think it's very important if you guys can put this together, would be the fact for us to be able to say, that look, an average price of a home now is $400,000, which I'm not exactly sure what I would say.
$500,000.
What's that?
It's over $500,000, right?
Okay, well, $500,000 in our county, that based upon this, that, it's going to cost each household this amount of dollars. And realistically, if it's under $20, I don't think you're going to get a whole lot of pushback from people as far as goes. That doesn't mean you're not going to.
Right.
But I think that, again, it goes back, if you put it to a vote and it becomes 55-45, you still got 45% of people that are against it. And so you're never going to appease everybody. Mm-hmm. But I think that we should that. I'm of the opinion that, you know, we need to basically start doing everything we can to get this thing ready to go and decide. That doesn't mean we're ready to go tomorrow, because this land situation has got to be resolved. I did receive from Dan, who was at our meeting, he sent me a couple of locations down on this. I don't know if you got that or not, but I don't know whether they're working on the UDOT has, and I would like to try to see if we can find something that UDOT does own, mm-hmm. and maybe have a little visit with them about the fact of, you know, I don't know, you remember how many dollars from the fund we put into buying ground for West Davis?
I have no idea.
Is that something, would that be very easy?
No, you can't use that, Bob. That's shifting, that's corridor preservation funds.
Listen, they are selling them off. We basically bought them. We basically gave them money to buy them. They are, in turn, selling all these properties off.
Right.
They aren't giving us any money back. We turned around and we bought 10 acres. It cost us $1 million back then, and they're only using 8 acres of it. And they sell the other 2 acres now for $500,000. They're not giving us $500,000 back.
So if you can get them to give you the money, or give you the land free and clear, but that's, money-wise, yeah, that's
kind of... I'm not talking money. I'm talking about trying to find if we've got locations of ground that we can get them to turn around and work
with us. Out of curiosity, why, I mean, once again, I think North Salt Lake's 15 miles, Upper is 17 miles from the current location. Why are we looking for land?
Well, because I'll tell you why. From my opinion, is that I believe that the location where we're at right now is not a really good centrally located. Again, I know you're talking in this, but I think that hypothetically, if you could be down the bottom of Second North, to where you've got the West Davis crisscrossing through there, and it's more on a flat piece of ground, and it becomes a whole new facility in that area down. Again, just that as an example, I'm not selling that area. I just think that's a lot better than people having to climb up that, drive up to that hill, get up there. I mean, the day could come to where we do want to, you know, put something else up there as far as with public works or
so
what.
You're talking 200 North and Kaysville?
That's just the one that Dan sent. Yeah.
Dan, who's Dan?
Dan's the over in the building department. I can't remember what Dan's last name is. He's a heavy set guy who was sitting
right in our building. Oh, no, you mean Kaysville? Got it. Yeah.
Kaysville's willing to give up that prime.
It's not Kaysville's ground.
I know, but we're talking. I mean, I listen to him, and I'm not arguing. I'm going to play the devil's advocate.
I love that line.
I know you do. I feel like I'm stealing something from you. We had a presentation from our economic development department talking about all these amazing opportunities for development on the West Davis corridor, for economic development, potentially housing, potentially, you know.
Mixed use,
yeah. I'm just surprised that, and my comment, playing the devil's advocate on the other side, was don't put them into TIF. The county, the taxpayers gave at the road to incentivize and make this property more developable. So please don't give away all the tax increment finance. Maybe we need to mellow out our growth, in Utah, and let the market naturally evolve rather than juice it. But that's my question. It's great that the building department saying, hey, let's do this out here, but is your economic development, is the city council going to give up a prime piece of land?
Well, and again, I don't disagree with what you're saying. This is why I'm saying it has to be a work in process. And I think that these are things that we have to turn around and look at. Do I think that this is off the board? No. But I do think that we should look around and see if there are other locations that we can turn around and come up with. No different when I sat at the library, people a few weeks ago said, you know what, we still need to look around. doesn't hurt. It just means that we've looked around and we feel this is the best location. One of the concerns that I do have up there a little bit is that when you had put your drawing up on the board, is that it was pretty dang tight with what you were showing. But I can add another thing into it too, and I talked to Ken Romney a little bit, and also Ken said that he would be more than welcome and love for you guys to come sit down and talk to him, because they are who he works for and what he does. He's a commercial builder. And, you know, we were talking about the building, and he was saying that, and again, we were just chit-chatting. He just said that, you know, one of the things is that realistically with what Ashley's showing, with the building spread out is good, but you could probably save a lot of money if you condense the building and put your offices above. Now, whether that works or not for what you're looking at, he just said that was something that he would be more than happy to be able to sit down and, you know, give you his insight or his thinking.
Whose comment was that?
I think it would be good. What's that? Ken Romney.
Oh, so. Well, she specifically addressed how problematic it is right now to be up in a different area.
Yeah, it's like two different worlds. So, you know, our offices are currently upstairs, and we're so disjointed from the rest of the team and what's going on in the organization. And so it's tricky, but I understand from a financial or space standpoint, absolutely.
Yeah, but right, I mean, so I'm just saying, that's what I'm saying. There's a whole lot of things that I think still have to be looked at. But I hope that the commission would turn around and say, we want to keep moving forward, and we would look at basically doing this as a sales tax supported bond,
okay.
So we can do it. Now, again, realize that was just me speaking.
You yes.
got two other people here that have to, you know, voice their opinions on
Thank
that.
You.
And we try to look into all options as far as locations go. So.
Well, that was my earlier question when I came in. Is just, you know, if we were to go out for a sales tax revenue bond, what's the timeline for that? I agree with Bob. We still think we should look at different locations just in case. Just see if UDOT is willing to do anything with the movement and what they have on the West Davis Corridor, because it's easy access that way. I mean, it'll be easy off of Shepherd with the way they're making the connections there now for where Bob's location's at. What he's talking about is we'll have a straight shot up to I-15, we'll be straight shot down. It'll be an easy access if UDOT's willing to work with us. If not, then I'm okay with this current site as well. But I do think we still need to look at other areas. I lean against the GEO bond just because if it does fail, we're still going to have to build it anyways, and we'll be in that situation like Kaysville. I don't want to be in that situation, so I'd rather just bite the bullet and be like, let's just get the damn thing done. The cities don't really seem to, they care, but they don't care. It seems what they kind of get is, you just do it, county, as they've always been, and we'll come along and we'll support when we want to support and blah, blah, blah. It just, obviously we've made this a county function, so this is going to be our bullet to bear. And so I'm okay with saying, let's just go out for the sales tax revenue bond. Yeah, it's going to be a 40% probably tax or 50% tax, but it'll be in that tax rate, and we can explain it. We can have open houses. Yes, people still won't understand that. We'll think it's a Davis County tax, but fine. A lot of people don't understand, but we'll try to walk them down that aisle to help them understand. Lots of open houses, lots of meet and greets. We'll have to sell it, but we'll have to do the work anyways. If we do it out for Geobond, we'd have to spend $200,000 on Geobond to get the mailers out and everything else. Why not say that we're saving taxpayers money because it's a need that's going to need to be done. So I'm okay saying sales tax and moving forward that route and just getting it taken care of.
Curtis, what were you saying about the timing if we went that route and our efforts as a county to have a measured landing from all this federal money? You were kind of, I thought you were saying that the sales tax would be harder for us to land that plane.
Well, no. So sales tax, and let me throw one other item out.
Okay.
You have a lease revenue bond. A lease revenue bond and a sales tax are going to function the same. So just know you're going to raise taxes.
Yeah.
We may go with lease revenue through our municipal building authority if we get a better rate.
Okay.
So, but that's the backing.
Right.
They essentially function in the same manner. You're going to raise taxes. So. When I talk about landing the plane, I'm talking about the overall county budget. So right now, we are projected to have to spend fund balance in 2023. And that is projected with an infusion of $3.5 million of SLUFRA that we are currently using for payroll, the $10 million that was flexible. Okay, so. By 2026, well, next year we're we're planning on using 3.5, the year after that 1.8, and the year after that you've got nothing except for the remaining expenses. So whatever you're spending down right now, add into your SLUFR. So if you go out for a tax increase now, which yes, you can do, and it's going to be anywhere from $10 to $20 per household, just know that next time you go out for a tax increase, you will... People don't think like us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
A tax increase is a tax increase is a tax increase. Yeah. So how you structure your tax increases so you can land the plane overall for the general fund and for public works, which we keep in mind we took 1.5 from this year.
Yeah.
So your deficit is 3.5, 1.5, and I think we had budgeted $3 million in spend down. Now, in the budget meeting yesterday, I let you know that our revenues came in 1.5 above what was projected, so that's good, right? Mm-hmm. So now we're only at 6.5 million. That's better than being at 8. But that's what I'm talking about in structuring. When are you going to take the general fund tax increase? How do you want to structure those? Those are all things you guys are going to have to work out.
Yeah.
What I'm hearing is we're going for either a sales tax or a lease revenue. The front end mechanism is going to be the same. On or before September 1st, and we do that so that you can put a parcel specific mailer in with the treasurer's tax notice that says, here is the amount, here is... I did a presentation a week or so ago on, and you guys may have gotten it in your inbox, maybe not, from UAC.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, or USAC, excuse me. This is what your parcel-specific mailer will look like. If I can get down to my training presentations, USAC tax rate setting.
Sure.
Can you throw me that screen as well?
So do you need to want to present something, Chris?
It's the power of the clerk. Tax rates set. There's your parcel-specific mailer. And if you ask, well, can't we soften it? The answer is no. That's all statute.
That's it? You can't soften it?
That's statutory
language. Can't you put a QR code? Can you put a QR code, though, for where they can go and look at more information?
Nope. Why not?
God!
Statute. Okay, let me be really clear. Statute defines what the parcel-specific mailer is. You can't add to or take away.
Can't just put something just in the corner.
You can't have Puss in Boots.
For more information. Guys,
no.
But should something go in the mailing with it to help people?
You can send a separate flyer saying, hey, if you want to come and learn, but this you cannot touch.
Okay.
So you're going to say, here's your market value, here's your taxable value, here's the current rate, tax this year, estimated next year, and they're going to say, okay, it went from...
26 to 52 in this example.
Right.
Yeah.
So
okay, great.
It's going to give the public hearing.
Okay.
And this is all you can put on. You can put another flyer in that says, hey, if you want to come and learn about what the tax increase is, then you can do that.
Which must be what you did in 2017.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Excellent.
So that's your parcel specific. This is what your TNT is going to look like. This is from Syracuse, an example from Syracuse. Syracuse is proposing a tax increase, from that to that, which is $124, which equates down to 33% tax increase. This will be reflecting something more like 50 to 70, somewhere in there.
In the one that's by law, does it say for this line item only or something like that?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, because we're not raising, the big confusion that people have is that it's the county government raising taxes anytime some entity.
Right. So once again, this is all statutorily set, like even the font size.
But the wording, does the wording say the wording for this statutory line, for it, this line item? Yeah, I didn't get to
would it. Increase this property tax budgeted revenue by?
It's property tax revenue.
So the font is even statutory.
Statute, this border.
That order
is statutory.
Wow.
Is that because don't touch
of,
it.
Is that because of the taxpayer association?
I would say yes and no. Yes, they're very adamant, and the Utah State Tax Commission is, but just as guilty for having everything in statute are organizations that try to minimize it and bury it. Because there are organizations that would put this at a very different font. So that it's just as much the taxing entities that have tried to game the system in the past as it is anybody that's trying to prevent this system from being gamed.
Yeah, true.
We have rules and statute because somebody tried it.
Yeah, or did it. Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
So so here's a little bit from me. Thanks for all the great thoughts. Obviously, it's been on all of our minds quite a bit, right? After the meeting last Friday, which I thought went really well, I followed up with a few people. I followed up with the Bountiful council member, Higginson, I think is his name, who was there and very thoughtful and, you know, kind of new to the conversation. And he is supportive. And I followed up with Mayor Romney. He also is supportive. Both of them, they're like, kind of warning for us to help us as commissioners was that they feel like it's important that we message that these are the services required by law and that we're not trying to be fancy or overstep. So I didn't disagree with that, honestly. I had multiple city managers talk to me after the meeting, all 100%. Of course, they've been brought along for a long time. They're part of the feasibility study. They know a lot. They have always wanted it to work better, all the things, right? I had, of course, we had the super wise words of City Manager Alex Jensen, who said, you know, there's a reason that some things are in the public sector. It's because the private doesn't take on roads and doesn't take on law enforcement and doesn't do certain things that government does do for the public good. You can study that public good. And so that was wise. The other city managers who talked to me, Clearfield talked to me and said, very supportive, he says his mayor is supportive. There you go, Clearfield mayor. So, and the other two who were with the Clearfield city manager in that moment, were the West Bountiful one and also the Centerville one. And the Centerville, Brandt, interestingly, he said, guess what? I have worked on animal services before for the city of Yuma, Arizona. He said, it was hard. He said, we definitely don't want to be providing animal services, and this is a great model. He says, we're very supportive, and this is what he said. Because I, in my own mind, was also thinking it's probably just better to go ahead and just not do the GO bond, but just as the two of you have said, I was thinking that as well for myself. But he said something that made me a little more open again, so I came to this meeting being open either way. He said, I have worked on this, I have done this work. He says, you're doing a great job. And he said, I don't think you'd have a problem getting a GO bond passed. He said, if Centerville is conservative as it is, you know, passed or approved a GO bond for a cemetery, he says, I can't imagine that people would not understand this. Now, a cemetery is a little bit vital, so I don't know. But the thing that I really like.
Sorry, there's so many things.
Like People want
to go someplace and die, so they're going to go to Centerville. That's a big hot button in Centerville for a long time.
Well, it's honestly fascinating to hear everyone's perspectives. It really, truly is. And so, but I do love the way that a geo bond sunsets. I do, and I'm gonna meet next with Rusty Cannon, and I attended that conference yesterday.
The thing about the geo bond though, they had sunsets, but by the time this sunsets in 20 years, there's gonna be need additional money to revamp and revitalize. There'll be things in the building that need to be fixed. You know, there's gonna be issues that are. I'm sorry. There's always something that comes up that's gonna help. That money's going to be needed for something for remodel or light remodel or light touch-up.
Well, and the other thing he said, which was helpful to me, is we know that the building is one thing and the operations are the other thing. We know from Lane and over all these years that the building is only a fraction of the cost over time, that it's actually the maintenance of a building and the operations that is the bigger investment by far. And we know that it's a really deep and specific feasibility study has said you probably need 4 full-time employees to be what Davis County needs you to be. Not just because of the building that you're going to build, but because of the level of animal services and the things that are problems within animal services, like the behavior and the mental health and all those things. So people want to adopt an animal that doesn't have giant behavioral problems, bottom line, right? The ones that do are harder to adopt, yeah. So he said almost what you just said, but he was talking about the operations. He said, then after you build your building, then you'll be able to see really how it's working with your existing staff and really even better, exactly what you want and need. We think we know what we need, but not exactly. So the point is being that we've got those two things. We have the building, and then we have the additional employees that we're holding off purposely right now. Like, we probably need them right now. So at least one or two of them.
At least one of them.
At least one. Right?
Yeah.
And so he says, you're going to have to do that anyway. And so he liked the idea of keeping it separate, was his opinion. So I personally could see it either way. The thing that for me as a commissioner, I'm okay with the law surrounding Geobond and how we, have to be extra vigilant about not using taxpayer resources that already exist toward promoting a Geobond. I really respect that. But what concerns me is the time limitations of 3 commissioners to do all that work. I think it's an opportunity. I'm kind of up for it. And maybe either way, we're gonna put in a lot of work. But the difference is that with the GO bond, it's on 3 commissioners. Whereas I think if go this other route, we've had a sales tax increase in 2017. Sounds to me like you all were quite successful in educating the public. And I feel like it's sharing that responsibility. With a giant, getting the word out to an entire county is a big challenge. Yeah. So, those are my thoughts since last Friday's meeting.
So, bottom line, what did you just say there? Are you in favor of doing?
I could go either way. So, if the two of you don't want to do the geobond way, I'm okay.
Well, the reason on the geobond, I think that if the geobond was to pass, great, that's the best thing. But bottom line is, this is something, we're not trying to build a rec center where, the people of Davis County want a rec center. And if they say no, we go on with life. Right. What we're doing is a service that we have to provide.
Right.
And it needs to be updated. And
does anybody know, how long has that building been up there? How long is the current?
85.
The original part was 85 and a remodel in the late 90s, I think.
So what's 40 years ago, right?
I just came from the Board of Health. I left it early, and then there was traffic. But it was so interesting because the Board of Health had to approve the new rabies ordinance for Davis County. And, you know, again, by law, rabies kills animals, rabies kills people. There's a reason that this law exists. vaccinations are required for people because of the social benefits and the individual benefits, similar to the animals. When your animal, there are some diseases that are bad that transfer from animals to people. That's why the law even exists, right? It's for that reason. It's not because we just love animals, therefore we're going to serve animals. It's all about health and safety. Animal services is all about health and safety, fundamentally. So I'll probably make that point. That there's a reason that this exists in the law. So, yeah, you're absolutely right.
But as Bob mentioned, though, it was built in 85. What was our population in 85? 150,000?
I don't know the answer to that.
It's wolf.
And then what is the population now? 375? And how many animals came with that population? So that's another thing we need to mention.
Well, the animal growth, the animal.
There's a lot.
I mean, you don't, and again, this is something I've always been, watched with interest in. It's a quick story. So back when we were in the grocery business, going back, which was like 88 is when this was, that. I laugh, we sat at a national meeting, and again, Nestle was a Swiss company, it was a worldwide company, and the guy that was the CEO of Nestle worldwide, so this guy's out of Switzerland. And I remember we were sitting there in this big room, and he gets up there and he starts talking about two businesses that they're going to get into. One was pizza. And again, you know, anybody that's old enough realize you just use Chef Boyardee pizza mixes, and that's how you made pizza. And then all of a sudden your Pizza Hut started to come, and you've seen what's taking place. But there's more pizza around than anything. And he talked about this, and I mean, I'm sitting next to the guy saying, pizza, who, are you kidding me? Why are people gonna go buy pizza? And now it's a billion-dollar business. The other thing he talked about was bottled water. And I said to the guy, the day I buy a bottle of water, shoot me. I mean, and we can see what's taking place with water as far as But the other thing that they talked about too, though, was the growth in pets.
Yeah.
And you can see how when you walk into a grocery store, you can see the aisle lined, you know, with pet foods. But what's amazing is all the pet product stores that now, since Petco, PetSmart, what takes place in the Walmarts, all these things, is because this business has grown so big. And I laugh because this morning, and Lorene, you're going to probably make fun of me for saying this, but Cale Murdoch, one of these guys that, you know, we go, I mean, here you got this very wealthy car dealer, you know, da 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 da. And he's telling us about the fact that yesterday he took Coco, that's the name of his little ankle bite dog. He took Coco to the groomer, and he says, you guys need to come see Coco's eyelashes. They look so pretty. And I said, get out of my car. I'm not going to go look at your dog's eyelashes. But the other guy did. Now, you know, to me, this is what's happening in this world, is that we're starting to treat, I think you guys said it, many people are treating their pets better than they treat their dang kids. And part of the land question you ask is, if we are way tight up there, we don't know what's going to happen 15 years from now. You know, the whole model of what has to happen. So I think these are all these things that you've got to take a look at, because we're not just talking about today. We're talking about a period of time that we don't know what's going to happen.
You just reminded me, I followed up with Mayor Mon, and he also followed up with us. He's been very helpful in the last several days. He was at the task force meeting yesterday, too, about HB 499. But he's very supportive. He just says, how can we know for sure that 50 years, you know, 30 years from now, we won't need more space? So he said, and I think he said that in the meeting. But he reached out to me and shared with Ashley about another site to check on.
Yeah. But, and Lorene, I think, you know, it's a good point talking about, because from the little bit I've heard, you know, I asked you a little bit, whatever I ran into, is that, you know, the state, so far as us as a commission, as a team here, is that the state basically is telling us that we need to have a facility, and some of the suggestions, from what I understand, are not their favorites. And yet, when you guys ask the question, well, how are we going to fund this? We don't know, which, to me, figured out.
It's pretty, yeah.
I mean, it's...
You're talking about the housing.
Yeah, shelter. Housing, yes. Housing the situation.
Yeah, it's almost an unfunded mandate.
Well, you've got to do this by, what is it, October of 24 or something like that.
Yeah, you have to start the services.
Sounds like a fifth. It sounds like Johnny tried to pass.
So, I mean, these are a lot of these things that I think that this commission and whoever's, you know,
there's a few big things. There's a few big things, yeah, going on. Well, okay, so if you, it sounds like you both feel like you'd like to go ahead with the, either the lease revenue or the sales.
Let's look at other options for property too, because the concern is if we do expand, there's not much there to expand on. If in 20 years that we need to add another little wing to it, it's going to be a little complicated to put it there.
Okay.
And then in Bob's comment about animals and pets, he has a cat now, I have a cat. We both didn't foresee that.
This is an open meeting. Do not say that.
We have loving cats. We are now loving cat people.
But that's four ones.
I do have one question. Bob, what are your cat's eyelashes like?
It's whether I pull the claws out so it doesn't scratch the furniture is probably what he needs to worry about.
And be it known forever that there will be no eyelash treatments in the county animal shelter.
You know, we could probably have some fun with those city mayors. I'm talking about some of the options that we're going to make.
I'm going to tell you that I believe we have confirmed the support of the cities. But I do also believe we need to get all the way through all of the councils. You and I have talked about having councils come and tour, and hopefully they really will have a council of mayors meeting there on location. And some won't need to go because some have seen it. So if they don't show up, that's not because they're dissing us.
Yep.
It's because they've already seen it. Pullman has seen it lots of times and knows a lot. So he just stays at work.
Commissioner, may I just ask a couple of clarifying questions just to make sure that I've got my understanding correct? So if I'm understanding right, you don't want to proceed with the geo bond. You'd rather explore the options of the sales tax revenue options, right?
Two feel very strongly, and I'm very open to that, yes.
Okay. And are you in agreement that you want to move forward with this, like for this year?
Absolutely.
That's the plan as well.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, I think moving forward means we have to have all of our ducks lined up. If you're able to line the ducks up in 6 weeks, which you won't be able to, then that's great. If it takes 6 or 8 months to get all the ducks lined up, then that becomes the most important thing as far as it goes.
And next to me.
We need definitely Curtis's help with figuring out this stuff. So.
And Mayor Petro was next to me in the Board of Health meeting. And actually, because of the rabies ordinance, I was able to explain about how the county is working on this to the Board of Health. It interests them.
It's great timing.
It's relevant. Yeah, it's right? It is great timing. They actually know who Ashley is and very much respect Ashley and her work and all of your work in the shelter. And Mayor Petro said, well, how soon are you guys going to get going? I said, well, we are having a meeting right after this. She says, well, I hope you get going. That's what Mayor Petro said.
So two more questions, and the first one is probably a question more for Curtis than anybody. Do you know the amount that you want to seek, or does that need to be decided now? So that would be the first question.
Okay, I have significant concerns.
About?
19 million.
Well, it's 18.23.
No, it's not.
You've seen all the buildings go
up. No, and Curtis, I want you to know, all three of us right along here, even you, all four of us, should have concerns about 19 million. Is that necessary? Can we accomplish this?
I understand it's an institutional building. I have significant concerns about that number. I don't care what the experts say.
Just because of the number or because of things you've seen in the drawings?
The numbers.
Cost.
It's cost.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I have significant concerns about having an expert tell us the expert should be telling us this is what you need, and then we should be driving that discussion.
I think that's happening with our own architect. Is that not true?
We don't have an architect.
We don't have an architect. No. And I think this
will we get an architect for this project?
Curtis, when I was visiting with Ken, this was kind of the same thing Ken was saying. That's why I was saying, you know, Ken is very, very supportive. And, again, these guys do commercial buildings, and he can give you a lot of insight, maybe some direction on where to kind of reach out to try to find out, you know, can we accomplish this with hypothetical government dollars, which is, we can't even better.
Let me put it in context. Your EOC, your people within the county were saying, we need at least 20 to 25 million. We said, go get the job done for 15. The event center, we bonded for 50. Why can't we bond for another? They wanted 57. I'm concerned that we're saying, here's where we're going to be. Yes, I am concerned about every dollar because in the end,
we have to pay for it.
Well, and sit in the budget committee meeting yesterday. Is there a need there? Yeah, I'm not going to discount it. I'm not discounting this need. I'm saying at some point, there's not going to be enough money for everything that you want to do. And I'm very concerned about that recommendation. And I know it's $10, but I'm telling you, I'm looking around the county, I'm seeing 20% increases for districts that are being recommended that have services that are critical. And so if we are not sharpening our pencil, I would ask that you not meet with the Taxpayers Association until the pencil has been sharpened, the plan has been set, and there is a defensible position 100%. You asked why, or you stated that things went well in 17. Well, that's because the pencil was sharpened. We made hard decisions, and I am not comfortable with a recommendation, no matter how wonderful these folks are, and no matter how much institutional knowledge they have, at the end of the day, they're not paying the bill.
Yeah,
the taxpayers are, and I'm not trying to be on a soapbox here, but we've got to land a plane, and all I see is a rapid descent in every meeting that I go to. So I had to get that out.
Curtis, yeah. I think that as the commission, you know, says that we want to have, I use the term ducks in a row, I think what you're saying is all part of the things that have to be figured out. I wholeheartedly, and I believe Randy and Lorene both wholeheartedly agreed that we hired a group to be able to help us, and this is what they came back with. But that doesn't mean we have to turn around and go with exactly what they're saying and where that's
even at. In the EOC mandatory meeting for all the architects who came, there was pushback.
I mean, we did this over here.
They said, no, they said, 15 million, that seems tight. We're standing here before you today to say, these are our needs, here's our scope. Here's the budget.
Well,
if you
can't
do it, then don't bid it.
And, you know, and again, I'm not trying to be funny when I say this, but my wife, when I got home last night, was watching HGTV. And it was interesting that the homeowners were saying, this is what our budget is. We don't have any more. This is what we would like. And the lady goes, no way, it can't happen. And they said, well, that's what we're going to do. And she says, well, let me get with the builder. So she turned around and got with the builder and told him. And he says, there's no way I can make that happen. She goes, well, let's see what we can figure out. And it was amazing how it happened.
Right.
And, yeah, and I mean, so these things are...
But you're going to do it not to exceed. And you three vote on it, right? But there are other elected officials that also have to and will take heat for this. I expect to be in a defensible position, and I can lose, and yep, I'm talking politics, but I will also take heat for this, and so I do not raise my hand to vote. That's you three. I respect that. I will always respect that, but I'm telling you, I'm not comfortable with where we're at right now. on the number.
What's the square footage of the EOC then?
I don't have that off the top of my head.
Curtis, I just want to remind you one thing that I said early on. I said, I don't know what the price is going to be. I said, it could be 10, 12, 16, or 20 or something. And these are all these things we have to do. I don't think anybody in this room is disagreeing with what you say, and I think everybody's thinking exactly what you're saying as far as it goes. And you know, I appreciate your input. We have to have your insight because of this.
But please, and I will also not be a hindrance.
But please help. Please realize that I think that we're all on board, and I think including you guys. I think everybody in this room is on board with that. So your advice is well taken, and
your concern is valid. Absolutely. So here's a few things. Again, to tour other facilities is a big deal. Mm-hmm. I've done one. We have another one later today. Mm-hmm. See with your eyes, you know, ask all your questions. We're not making any decisions, but there's an opportunity to go see something that exists. The one we're seeing today is, from what Ashley has said, more like the kinds of facilities that are built now. The one we saw in Salt Lake County and the one we have up here in our own county were built as kill facilities. They have the trap doors from the outside to the inside, and I heard some pretty horrible stories about homeless people in there and big dogs who fought each other to the death inside of there, and all the stuff that used to happen, right? That doesn't happen now. They use those for different ways. We have here from the slides, I mean, I have a question about this because they tried to give context for comparable animal care facility sizes. And I'm guessing some of these have a similar function and population. So yeah, that's so why they put these on here?
Similar intake numbers and service close to similar size counties. Some of them are bigger counties than us by population.
Okay. So we're going to go see one. Salt Lake County, as you know, is giant and still growing. It'll grow long past where we're filled in. But they do also have the Humane Society, and they're trying to add to the building that they have, to Mayor Mon's point. So we have some here. There's also the remodel lessons in Short County. I encourage you to review the slides because there was a lot, in a giant feasibility study, a lot of specific things to help us with the decision on the building. I know that the library that we're going to build in the south part of the county is estimated at $10 million. Am I remembering correctly? Around that. That's why it's just curious because the context of that number, no one but us has any context for that number, and it's hard for us. But yeah, the public, to hear that number, they have zero context.
So how do we fine tune that number? That's what Ashley would be asking now. It's like, yes, we agreed to sales tax, but now how do we fine tune it? Well, we need to go out, what do we do now to get that tone tuned down?
So,
or get it where we know that, okay, we're for sure that it's 18, it's 20, it's actually 15, or it's actually 25.
My husband and I had to do this when we built a house. Our architect was a fancy guy. And he finished the designs with everything we said we wanted. My husband had already done a conceptual design. He has some skills. He'd done a conceptual design. The architect said, here's what it is, here's what it'll cost. And we said, I mean, our jaw just dropped. We said, no, it has to be here. And so that's, like, I'm assuming, Lane, though, that even this is just a concept. When we're ready to build, there's still an architect involved with us, isn't there?
Yeah, we'll get another architect.
Yeah, so we'll have an architect. So you base it on, just like they had in the presentation, the volume of animals and the volume of humans that need to work and flow and function in that space. And we also don't want to have to rebuild in 20 years, so you need quality materials that are going to last for 50 years, right? And then the institutional aspects of this building, which we don't have in a library, which we don't have in an EOC. So some of that costs money, extra. That's the other thing. Our architect, when we built, guess what? He was a commercial builder. He built commercially. Our contractor said, this home has been over-engineered. And he was grumpy about it. But guess what? We're not so worried about the shakes that happen because we've got some structure that was designed a little bit extra, right?
So I think the tricky spot that we're in, if we do want to scale down, then we need to go out for an RFP for an architect to scale it down, which we do not have funding for this year. So how do we go out for the sales tax revenue if we don't have a price in mind because we don't have the shelter that we want?
Yeah.
So that's kind of the situation we're in right now. Being in Fund 13 this year, we have no extra in our budget to go out for this RFP. So is there money somewhere, Curtis, you hate that question, where we could go for an RFP for an architect to get us an accurate number?
This is what I would, if I can have some time to lay out a financial plan that I think would be defensible. And when I say defensible, I'm not talking politics, I'm talking due diligence, I'm talking, look, we have to feel comfortable standing up in the public and saying, here are the numbers. So if I can have some time to try and work out a financial plan that I think can hold the county accountable, because that's really
absolutely
what
we
need
have
to do.
Yeah.
When I hear institutional, we just built an institutional facility, guys.
The jail medical wing.
We spent under $8 million on that.
But not as many housing units in a surgical center.
Once again, square footage, I'm thinking, would be comparable. I mean,
is it?
I would think so. In your mind, walk through that facility that you guys toured. And yes,
this
the cells are going to be smaller, but we're not, there's no breakout. We're not going floor to ceiling with cinder blocks because we're afraid
right.
The folks we're housing are going to try and break it. So I'm using that as a frame of reference. I'm looking at it as it was a medical facility. It is a medical facility. Mm-hmm. We have zero pressure cells. We have a lot of the stuff. So
there's prefab. There was a lot of prefab that came into that building. Did you know that? Yeah, stuff that was already designed and plopped down. I know there's prefab spaces in there. Am I right, Lane?
I don't think so. No, the jail, but not the medical wing.
Not the medical wing.
Medical wing was not prefab.
Oh,
maybe
it was all
the jail. The back jail was all prefab. Yes.
State prefab prison.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'm
confused. Anyway, so
this is 32,000 square feet that's been proposed.
Ashley is spot on. She is saying, we don't have money. She's right. Nailed it, yes. But how do we get ourselves in a position that we can be defensible within, and you say, look, 8 months? You don't have 8 months.
Right.
You, June, July, August, you've got 3 months. Mm-hmm. And you better have your ducks or cats or whatever.
Well, we do have 8 months if we want to maybe put it in next year's budget, not this year's budget, or upcoming budget.
It's all the tax increase.
It's
all the tax increase. Yeah. So
you have to have that ready by
September.
This August, September, if you want to do it for next year's budget.
Correct.
Or you'll be waiting until September to do it in 2025 budget, right?
Yes.
And I can always go back to George, the architect on this project, and say, hey, we need this scaled down to like $12 million or $15 million or whatever number we're thinking of, and see how much that would cost us.
What does 15 get you? What is 12?
Mm-hmm.
Do you spend fund balance? Look, the cities, I wouldn't spend a lot of time with the cities at this point. You've already committed to them that you're paying
our
bill.
It's our project.
But either way, we can't have city council members not understanding this and saying to
right.
the people who come to them,
All you need to say
horrible.
Is, we're paying for it and they don't care.
Yeah,
that's the only thing the cities care about, is that we've taken this financial burden on.
Well, but the tax increase, people have to be...
Larry, you could turn around and send a thing out saying to all city council people.
I would invite them up certainly to an open house,
yeah.
But I wouldn't be spending a lot of time.
No, we don't need to do a lot of time.
Yeah.
But they need to understand. Because they will get asked in their own communities. Yeah. I think everyone would probably agree But we're trying to build what Davis County needs for the build-out in a wise way. It would be foolish to build something that we have outgrown in 20 years. We see our build-out. We know our population. We tend to know the numbers based on population, right? You can understand homelessness numbers based on population. You can also understand animal numbers based on population. There's data. And so that is helpful. The other thing, when we're looking at those other, it'll be good to see it and to ask a lot of questions. But they're very compartmentalized. They're very different from other buildings. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to go back to George and just see what he says about downsizing and see if that's even an option or a project he's willing to take on. We have a pretty good working relationship with him, so we can see what he's willing to discuss with us on that front.
Can I maybe ask a question, proposal, a line of thought? Maybe you take the study and you say, we're going to go out for architect. And you're saying, we don't have money. We'll work on that.
Okay.
We'll figure out a way. But you say, here's the scope of what we need. It's kind of not fair to George. I don't know George. I've seen him on the screen once. Seems like a nice guy. To say, hey, go, we know that your baby's beautiful, but we need it to be a little uglier. This is where you bring in local architects, local resources. You commissioned a study. Take the study. From that study, what are the core? What is the core that you need? What are the niceties? And what are the whiz bang, this would be awesome. But I think you've got to get an architect, a local architect or a national architect. I'm fine with either. But you've got to get somebody on board that is going to see this project through. Because and are we going to do a CMGC? Like, I think the study is the study. And I'm not asking that the study change.
Right. We asked the study to look at what do we need for, we didn't say, best of the best, but we didn't ask them specifically to narrow this down. I'm not saying that the 19 isn't what we wish for or want, but we didn't specifically ask where can we cut.
Right. So there's no value engineering. 100%. This is when you go and get the second opinion as to whether somebody's going to cut into your back or if you're going to try physical therapy.
Right. Because if we just pull the trigger and said we wanted the 19 million, his perspective is, he doesn't want us to come back and be like, well, you didn't tell us we needed this, this, and this.
Right.
He's including everything that we want.
So the study has set the kind of the broad scope of what things that we need, things that we want, things that we would like. But now I think you go into a process of narrowing it down, putting that in and saying, here's our scope. I think you can say to people, this is what we're looking at dollar-wise. And I know that $8 or $12, does it really matter? Yeah, because that $4 spread, you're going to be coming back and asking to fund for other county services in the near future.
Here's the part of the slide that talks about this. Budget estimate summary, institutional build. A modern, well-designed animal shelter costs approximately 30% more to build than an office building. 4 bullet points. Requires a greater number of walls and doors. Facility surfaces must be non-absorbent and durable. Rooms must be designed to minimize sound transfer. And the last one is air handling systems must be designed to prevent disease transfer between animals.
That's a great list to put in an RFP.
Yes.
Okay, so anybody got a guesstimate of how much money it costs to put an RFP? Request out for an architect.
Would this be another conceptual feasibility study, or do you want to?
That would be a feasibility study.
This is not feasibility. That's what I'm talking about. Like, we're going to work here.
Okay, we're going to work.
I mean, that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. This year, if we went and released an RFP, 3-month process, like, we wouldn't be that much dollars into the process this year at all.
It takes a while.
By the time we get them on board and they start doing the work and invoicing us.
It'll be next year, but then we still don't have a hard dollar amount to go out.
Well, because here's the thing. Randy, Lorraine, you know what? If we need to come up with money, we can come up with money, correct?
I'm going to make...
Let me work on a financial plan.
Okay, well, let's get that done as quickly as possible. But I want you to know, and Randy and Lorraine agree with me, if we've got to turn around and authorize some money to be spent for this, we only need two people to put their hand up to say, pull it out of the rainy day if we have to pull it out of there to be able to do it. So let's make this happen.
Commissioner, you are very experienced looking at design. I'm going to print this for you.
Well, I think these are all these things, and I think Ashley and these guys can go to work on it. I think you got a lot of experience with Lane, with what we've been building around here.
Yes.
Like I said, when it comes to Ken, you can at least go down there, and Ken may be able to send you to an architect to get some advice for nothing. He may say, these are somebody we use, or this is somebody in-house. Why don't you sit down and get some advice? I don't know, but we start asking questions, and I think that if you can turn around and come up with the plan, but you know what? We can beat this thing to death with what it's going to cost, but let's start the process to be able to find out what it is going to cost.
So Mayor Romney is... He works for Jim Grimal Construction, and I'm on Safe Harbor's board with Jim Grimal, who built that facility, the new facility there. So, yeah, there's certainly people around that we know, Hogan as well. I was just going to say the other thing that we saw in Salt Lake County, we'll see if we see it in Humane Society's shelter today. Lots and lots and lots and lots of donations. Lots. They don't even pay for their food and supplies and toys because it's all coming from donations. So a part of me also wondered, just like Jerry Goodspeed asked me over at the extension, he said, we are looking to get an endowment fund, you know, and we think that that'll make a difference for the Botanical Center for the decades to come. And that's a thing. There, like, I need to understand deeply the policy for donations, but talk about an area where people want to contribute and have their name on the cute cat room. Just look for it today. We saw it. Cute cat rooms named after the people who donated everything that went into that room. And I believe that the estimate that we have from this feasibility study includes FF&E, all the things, right? All the cages, all the things, which is sometimes nice to understand. But then you still have to buy all that stuff after you fill your building. I think that's all included in here. So you can look very deeply at these slides, which is why I printed them, to look deeply at it myself too.
Okay.
Is that everybody's questions answered? Curtis is going to kind of take a little time looking at all the money side of it. You're still looking at the land.
Yep.
And we have the tour, but we know how we're proceeding, right? Does that take care of everything that needs to be open and public? I think so. Okay. All right. Thanks, everyone. We'll adjourn at 9:47. Good timing.